So we go there. There's a facility in Cuyahoga Hills. There's a facility down here in Indian River. That's pretty much Ohio where they're going to go. One down in Massillon, actually be over. It's south, okay? It's south. And then north. So we do kind of the same thing. Each facility, they have a chaplain, okay? And I know both chaplains really well, and they love Jesus, and they give some pretty solid services, but they're busy. They're busy. And so what we do is we come in, like at Cuyahoga Hills, we'll come in on Tuesday mornings, and we do a Bible study. And then we come in again on Tuesday night, and this is a chronological deep. This is where we're going next. You have homework, Bible study on Tuesday nights. And then we help out with their services on Saturdays. Again, the chaplain will run it, but we're there and we're helping out. And a lot of times, this is where we start to get some of the relationships with these youth. And if you remember, I mentioned mentoring. That's what I started to get into, that one-on-one. That's where a lot of these mentoring relationships develop when they're incarcerated, especially at Cuyahoga Hills. We go down to Indian River. Indian River is the maximum security for juvenile in Ohio. So these are, as they would say, the worst of the worst, okay? And they're violent crimes, a lot of sex offenders in there as well. Two of the units at that facility are on lockdown. They cannot go anywhere at any time, any program. They're not allowed out. God is so good. I'm allowed in, okay? We are allowed in. They're not allowed out. We're allowed in, so we go in. We also we work with Restoration Chapel up at Cuyahoga Hills to teach a career readiness class. We have our own class down at Indian River, and it's a 16-week class that we teach them. Hey, they're getting out. Not very many of them have actually worked legally, okay? So we're giving them, teaching them how to fill out an application. What an application looks like, where to get an application, where to even start looking, okay? How to be a part of an interview, how to dress, okay? We go through all that. It takes us 16 weeks, but that's something that we're using to prepare them for when they're on the outs. And again, the mentoring relationships are established there. We try and establish the mentoring relationships while they're incarcerated. Okay? Because once they get out, it's more and more difficult. And I'm going to get into that in just a second. But I want to share some neat things on how the Lord is working. I want to share also that I invited a couple other guys to come with us today. And Eric couldn't make it today. We started with him when he was in Indian River. He started with us. Oh, the Lord started all of this at Indian River. Let's get it right. The Lord initiated that. And he went through several of our programs. He was mentored by Dave Duffy, if you know Dave. Eric is engaged. He owns his own photography company. And the reason he couldn't make it today is because he is leading the worship at his church. Okay, so that's why Eric couldn't make it today. John wanted to come today. I'm going to get into the landscaping, and John's hilarious. John figured out real quick landscaping isn't for him. Splitting logs, getting dirty, that wasn't John. But John went through some rocky roads. He moved. He moved. It's one of the Dakotas, and the reason he moved is all of his negative influence. His dad, his mom, his sister, and his aunts and uncles are all involved in drugs and alcohol heavily. And as much as he tried to get away from them, it was just always there. You know what I mean? It was just always there pounding on him. And so John is clean. He's been sober for 2.5 years. And he loves Jesus, but he realized the struggle that was there, and it permeated his lifestyle because that's where he was. So I'm real proud of John because he got with his mentor. His mentor helped him move to one of the Dakotas, and they hooked up with a nice church over in one of the Dakotas. So John couldn't be here today. He's fun to listen to because he's really funny, but he sold out for Jesus, and that's so cool. Down at Dan Street, you know, you'll get some of these youth, and they'll, I love Jesus, and I'm, yes, and that's because they're in jail and they want out. I mean, come on, let's be honest. Okay? It is. So we get weekly reports on salvation, on youth that have accepted Christ as their Savior. We get those. And the volunteers are instructed to follow up on that, and we do as well, as best we can. And so, 4 or 5 a week, maybe not a lot. I mean, this isn't the, this is a tough crowd, let's say. But just here recently, one of the halls, Hunsaker, so those of you who have been into Dan Street know Hunsaker Hall, the pod Hunsaker. Just recently, on their own, they started praying together. Just recently, on their own, they started doing their own lessons on the days we're not there, which isn't many. But they started doing their own lessons on their own. And that's what we have within the facilities. So I want you to be encouraged. God is working. Yeah, no, we're not getting a ton every week. And some of them, they leave. We don't even know. But you know what? That's our job. We're farmers. Okay? We're farmers. We're going to plant that seed. That's what we do. That's our job. And let God take care of the rest. Now, if you're not familiar, here's another pretty cool thing. We operate off of a 13-acre farm. We have donkeys, bees. Well, the bees died. But we're going to get more bees. Chickens, cats. But it's and a garden. It's a functioning farm. And the kids love it. Quentin, isn't the farm pretty cool? Well, except for when I put them to work. But it's a nice, relaxing area for them to go. And some of these, there are a lot of these guys and gals are inner city. They've never seen a donkey or groundhogs or chipmunks or anything like that. But you know, it's really cool. God has given us the opportunity to have youth that are incarcerated in Cauga Hills or Indian River, while they're incarcerated, they can come to the farm. They put them in their paddy wagon van, bring them to us at our facility. How cool is that? And then, so Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of every week, we have youth that come to us. And guess what they're getting as soon as they walk in the door? Jesus. They're getting God's word, okay? Or do a Bible study right off the bat. And then Dave Duffy does a fantastic job with working with these youth. We're going to teach them some things. Well, it's a big farm, okay? Let's be honest. We got weeds that need pulled. We need grass that needs mowed. We need fences that need mended and painted. Okay, they're there to help us. But they're also there to learn. Okay? They're there to learn. What a screwdriver is. There's a difference between screwdrivers? There's a flathead and a Phillips? What? How to use a saw? And Dave goes through, and they have to graduate to be able to use a power tool. Okay? You don't know what this stuff is. So we have the opportunity. And then, so, but Dave does a wonderful job, and they'll be working together side by side. And he'll always incorporate this. You know, God, I remember when I was your age, and God, you know, this reminds me of something in the Bible. But yeah, just brings it all together. And then we eat together. That's always good, especially with guys. Anytime you can eat together, you build that relationship. And like I said, 4 days a week, they come to us. So that's the shortest version I can give of True North Ministry and a little bit about how God's working. But let me share with you a little bit, too, on kind of where we're going, because let me give you some numbers real quick. The recidivism rate for Ohio is 54%. Recidivism is just a big word for they got in trouble again, and they're back in jail. 54% of juveniles in the state of Ohio are going to go back to jail, okay? So we started looking at some of our numbers, all right? And within the first year, our recidivism rate of youth that we have that are being mentored or that we're working with that are involved in any of our programs, we're at about 12%. So that seems pretty good, okay? However, within the second year, it doubles. And by the third year, we're at Ohio's average. Why is that? Well, that was a question we asked. Well, and we talked about it a little bit. I talked about it a little bit earlier. It's what they're bombarded with, right? That's what they're used to. That's what they know. Now they're being mentored one-on-one. Well, that's once a week. What about the other 6 days of the week? So we've very much been focusing on, well, God's word, and that's never going to change. We're always going to amp that up as best we can. But what are we doing with them and for them when they're on the outs, when they are released? Because those numbers, that recidivism rate, grows exponentially. Of that 54% in the state of Ohio that go back to jail, 78% of them are going to go back to jail again. We got to break that cycle. Jesus is the only one that can do it. I can't do it. Pastor Ken, you're good and all, but you can't do it. I'm sorry. You can't do it. It's just not going to happen on our own power. We need to get them the gospel. And how do we do that once they're out now? So we have the landscaping company. Quentin is my guy. Stand up. Everybody, take a look at this guy. Okay. So guess who carries the wheelbarrows? Quentin. Go ahead, you can sit down. Quentin has been with our landscaping company. This is his second season. He's only the second other person that's actually made it. Two full seasons. Well, we're almost done. Don't quit on me. Two full seasons, okay? Let me give you some numbers just on our landscaping, okay? So we've had over 20 youth come through our landscaping program. Landscaping program is 4 years in, okay? We have a 10% recidivism rate overall in landscaping, 10%. Guess what we have? So remember I mentioned that 54%, of that 54%, 78% go back. Of our 10%, our recidivism rate is zero. Think about it for just a second, though. How much trouble is Quentin going to be able to get into? He's in my truck for eight hours a day, 5-6 days a week, okay? But it's more than that. It's more than that. I know that Quentin loves Jesus because I'm next to him on a daily basis. I know that Quentin has a very good singing voice because we sing worship songs and he knows more than I do. He's, okay? Quentin and I and Brandon and Josh and all these other guys, we're working together side by side for hours. And that's what we're moving towards. So landscaping company, cool, it's working. You know, John, like I said, found out real quick the landscaping isn't for him. And that's fine. That's fine. So at least he learned how to be interviewed, and he got the gospel. But that pushed him towards, okay, I'm not doing anything manual labor. And now I'm going to find a cushy desk job or something more along my lines. So, no, landscaping wasn't it for him, but it propelled him towards something else. And let me tell you another story. I had Walmart call me. Walmart called me. They said, "Do you know Tyler Carter?" I said, "Yes, I do." They gave me the spiel. This is, you know, da-da-da-da-da, and they put an application. I said, "Yes, I do." They said, "Okay, thanks." I said, "Wait a minute. Do you want to know if I recommend him?" Nope, we're good. He's the only one that had a reference that answered the phone. And he got the job. Okay? Landscaping gives them a reference. Okay? It gives them an opportunity. They have some skills. They can put that on an application. I'm sorry, you can't put candy flipping, drug dealing, tag swapping on your application. It just doesn't go very well. And that's what that does. So we've been working on how are we going to stay with them on the outs, okay? And the mentoring is a wonderful, wonderful thing, okay? But, I mean, just think about your schedule. Everyone in this room, just think about your schedule, okay? Especially those of us with little ones. Well, mine aren't that little, but. And they're, how much time do you really have to invest into one person? Once a week? Twice a week? Three times a week? Three times a week is, we don't even have any. They can go that much. Okay? And I'm not just saying, just throw away mentoring. What I'm saying is, what about the other four, five, six days of the week? So what can we do to walk? We're walking with them in the facility. We're walking with them outside of the facility. What else can we do? So we have a volunteer, neat guy. He just happened to spend 15 years in Texas State Penitentiary, State Jail. And he is sold out for Jesus. That's Tank. Quentin knows Tank really well. He's a dental technician. He's a big 6 foot, what's he, 6'1", 6'2"? Dental technician. He's like, you know what? You know, in the dental technician labs, they don't really care about your background, your past. Because you're in a room. I mean, you're in a room, you know, walls, and you got to fix your teeth and all. They don't care. There's nothing to steal. There's nobody to hurt. They don't care. They're going to say, hey, here's this. Can you fix it? If you fix it, you're hired. We're talking $18 to $20 an hour with benefits. Okay? It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money to me, but it's a lot of money to these kids, right? Okay? But you got to be trained. Guess what? Tank, he's trained. So here's what we're doing. We started at our facility. We just threw up some walls and some doors and some desks. We have a dental lab technician training. I think that's how it said. Lab. And he is going to come in and he's going to teach these kids how to be a dental technician. Now, when they're done, they won't necessarily be certified. But if you remember, the interview is going to be, can you fix this? I need a crown on that. Can you do that? Looks good. You're hired. Okay? As long as they can do the work they're in. Because guess what one of the biggest obstacles for these youth with employment is? They're past. So we're almost done working on that. We've got a few things to put together and some equipment. And then that one, we have the programs. Actually, we meet with Cauga Hills on Wednesday to show them our program so that they can advertise it to their group as well. And I'm really excited about that one. And this is something where, you know, Robert and myself and Dave, we will be there with them through all this training. And then we'll, depending on where they went, we'll work on them with the interview process and all that as well. And then, oh, by the way, Robert has been real good with all the labs in the area. And so he can pop around at any given time. And then, as you can imagine, I'm on my two-minute warning. You know, where they live, too, right? Remember, you know, in talking with John, his mom, his dad, they're separated, but everywhere he would go to live, there's drugs in the house, there's violence in the house. What do we do about that? Well, The Lord said, he told us this. He said, I want you to house them. And you know, I said, how are we going to do that? I've got one extra room at my house. You know, just that's how I'm thinking. How am I going to fix it? How am I going to house them? How am I going to do that? Am I the only one? I guess I just don't trust in the Lord as quickly and as often as I should. And then shortly thereafter, he gave us a house that is furnished, that is ready to live in. And we don't have to own it, buy it. We don't have to do anything but say, who wants to live there? It's ready to go. That's the Clayson's house. Ah, the light bulbs are going off. It's this wonderful couple. They have this house. They've been renting it out. And they heard that we want to do a discipleship house. It's now ours. Now, once we kick the math teacher out of there, we're moving kids in. And this is a house. This isn't just, hey, it's a place to live. Now, don't tell them I said that. They're welcome to say But we are going to bring youth into this home. They are going to live there. Okay? Now, there are rules. I mean, they have to have a job. We are going to collect rent. Very minimal. We're going to collect rent. They're required to attend Bible studies. Now, I don't know if you've heard of Truly Reaching You ministry. That's the adult version of what we do. But they have several programs, some substance abuse programs and things like that. So that we'll be plugging them into that. So we have a house for them to live. And I know the one, he's actually living, John Molmeister. You know John Quentin? Yeah. He's actually living with one of our volunteers. He's actually on his second volunteer because he can't stay where his parents' house. It's too toxic. It's too toxic. He needs to get out, and he knows that, and our house isn't quite ready yet. Well, because there's occupants, but we're trying to make sure with the house, you know, we still have to be careful. We need to make sure we raise enough money for 1 year's working capital. We want to make sure that if something happens, if youth, because that's how it's going to be paid, you know, we still have to pay utilities and insurance and maintenance and things like that. So it's not much, but we want to raise a full year. We've got a guy who's interning up at Christ Community Chapel, who's on fire for Jesus. He's going to be our house dad, our house monitor. So we got a guy that's just going to stay and love on these guys and give them the gospel, give them the Bible study, because we're going to disciple them. We're going to disciple them. This is the discipleship house because you all know the Great Commission. Who knows it? Who can tell it to me while I take a drink of water? Great Commission. Go ahead. Shout it out. So we're going, right? We're going into the jails. And then we're making disciples. We're baptizing. We baptized in a tub at our farm before. Said, I want to be baptized. I said, let's go. We got the hose. It was a little cold, but it's okay. And then make disciples. Have you ever thought about that? Just, okay, so you think about it, and then you're like, okay, I did that. I shared the gospel, and they're baptized, and then now they're discipled. Now what? You ever thought about that? Now what? Well, what now? Well, you do it again, right? You don't stop. You do it again. But here's where we're really, why we're doing the landscaping, why we're doing the discipleship house, why we're doing the training lab. I mean, other than we want to keep them out of trouble, but we want to make, now that they're disciples, we want them to go share and disciple. We want to make disciples of the disciples. And we can't do that when we're losing 54% of them by year three. We can't do that. When even we're losing 20-some percent after a year. Well, my time is up, and I got pretty much everything in, but we're going to meet a little bit later. So if you have any questions whatsoever, but that's a good snapshot, I think, of what we do, where we are, and how God is working through us. This is all Him. We're just so blessed to be His hands and feet. And I want to make sure that I thank you immensely, not only for this opportunity to share it with you. As you can see, I get a little excited. But for being a partner with us this whole time, okay? We have volunteers from here. We have prayer partners from here. And financially for helping us. We're a minister. That's what it takes for us to go, okay? But if I could ask one thing, we need finances. Yes, we need volunteers. Yes, we need mowers and trimmers and windows and all. Yes, we need all that material stuff. But the main thing I would ask is if you pray for us, if you would pray for us. I've got some brochures in the back. You're welcome to them. But in here just kind of breaks down everything I just talked about for the most part. Actually, this is my little cheat sheet. But pray, the times and days are on there that we're at Dan Street and what we're doing. Pray. We've had a ton of trouble with these youth refusing ministry. They have the right to do it, okay? But my goodness, and we go, especially from here, it's a long way away to Akron. And then they refuse. It's so frustrating. It's so very difficult. So, hey, let's pray. Let's pray before they get there on Tuesday nights. Let's start praying for traveling mercies. Let's pray for the hearts of those youth, that the Lord would soften their hearts. Hey, let's pray for that staff, too, because guess what? They've got to be there. They're going to hear it also. Let's pray for that staff. And also, the staff influences those kids, too, because it could be one of those, you don't really want to do ministry today, do you? Or, hey, ministry's here. Come on. The staff influences it greatly. Let's pray for the staff. And let's pray for our volunteers that they would be anointed before they even go in, that God would give them His words to share with them. Because every kid's going to hear it different. Every kid's going to hear it different. But, again, catch me later if you have any other questions or interests or want some further details. Again, thank you so much. And what I'm going to close, I want to pray for you guys. So can I do that? Can I pray? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for so many good things. You're so good to us. Lord, I thank you for the body of Christ. Some of us are the nose, and some are the ear, and some are hands and feet. And Lord, it is so neat when your body works in harmony with one another. So Lord, I thank you for New Baltimore Community Church and what they mean to us as a ministry. There are not a whole lot of people that we can say, or churches that we can say, have been with us since day one. They have. And Lord, I know that's because they love you. And it's their love for you that pours out into ministries like ours. So Lord, would you bless them to be a blessing? Lord, I want to pray for the chili cook-off and for the friends. Bring in the friends. That is something I highly encourage, bringing in friends, lost friends or prodigal friends, whatever it may be, Lord, to come and hear your word. Lord, will you just bless everyone here? And Lord, show them. We're all called to the mission field, every one of us. We can all be missionaries in some capacity. Would you show each and every one of us the way that you would have us to go? Because, Lord, we want to do your work, your way. In Jesus' precious name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
Thank you, bro. Jim, you shared the gospel. Give us the gospel. What does it take for me to get to heaven?
Well, first of all, the Bible tells us that we've all sinned and fallen short.
Guilty.
Okay. Now that you know that you're guilty, all Jesus says is that you just need to repent, which is a big word that means kind of just turn around and go the other way of that sin. So you just have to tell it to Him. I confess, you just said it, I'm a sinner. Hey, you know what? Just turn around. Turn away from that sin, and you give it to Him. Just confess it to Him. Say, hey, you know what? God, I've sinned. I've fallen short. I want you to take it. And He will. He will. Then He'll forget it as far as the east is from the west.
Amen.
And then you give your life to Him. Ask Him into your heart. Tell Him to take over.
So I need to repent, plus I need to follow.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen.
That's it, brother.
Amen. Before we sing, any questions that you'd like to ask of Jim? Anything on your mind? Sometimes when you ask a question, you're actually asking it for probably somebody else who has the same question. So don't be bashful. All right. Well, Jim, why don't you be up here? If anybody wants prayer, you can pray with Jim. I'll be up on the other side.
Okay.
Let's stand up, worship our God. Give as God leads you. If you're a first-time guest, thanks so much for being here. Drop in that yellow card. I think that's it.
All right. All right, I wish.
Thank you.